Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so hey, look for a brand new one of those tomorrow morning. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, oh yeah, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? So, all right, well, you know, Dan and I have not had a chance to come on and visit with you as of late. You know, he was tied up Friday, and then we didn't get here yesterday for different reasons. But Dan, what I'm trying to figure out, maybe you could help me here. Does Derek Jeter realize his job is no longer to try to help the Yankees win a World Series?
Yeah, he's just trying to dump payroll. Getting rid of one of the best assets they've ever obtained. I was reading an article this morning before I fell asleep. A guy listed, several of the GMs and owners over the past, like, since they won that World Series, was in an 03, on why Marlin shouldn't even have fans, or, you know, why nobody would be a fan. And he wouldn't be surprised. Well, you know, the Marlins continue to fill their pocketbook, so to speak, while giving their fans the middle finger. I thought it was funny that they completely dismantled the team before the paint really had time to dry in Miami in that new stadium.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you're a taxpayer in Miami who happens to be a Marlins fan, I would assume you're pretty ticked off and possibly no longer a fan. I mean, you know, they hit you up to get that stadium built, including that ugly sculpture that for some reason is still there. And then they turn around and ship off your best player for, you know, let's face it, they got nothing close to equal value. I mean, what they got is the Yankees to pick up $265 million in cash. And, you know as well as anybody else who listens to the podcast that I am a big Starling Castro fan. But there's no way Starling Castro and two minor leaguers that we'll never see at the major league level are worth Giancarlo Stanton. You know, this was strictly a money dump on the Marlins' part. And what I can't figure out is, why in the hell did Major League Baseball agree to sell this team to Derek Jeter and the group they were in when they knew that they didn't have the money to compete?
Well, you know, one of the things is they never can actually get the commissioner to go in on expansion, and I don't know if they would allow this, like you said, with all the money, the new stadium and whatnot, but do you think maybe they would lose that team?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, at this point in time, they might as well go to Montreal, you know, because nobody in Florida is going to come see this team after that. You know, they'll be the lowest drawing team in baseball this season. You know, there's absolutely no reason to come out. You know what I mean? The weird part is the dismantling's not finished. you know, they're going to be getting rid of some more guys. So, you know, I mean, if you're a team that has a need, or, you know, if you were in the Stanton running, you know, I would be calling Jeter looking for some of his other outfielders. You know, like I suggested to Stu that the Cubs call him and see if they'll take Alberto Almora, who is still in, you know, hasn't even reached arbitration yet, for a guy like Christian Yelich. You know, a quality left-handed hitter who could play center field and they could plug him in at the top of the order. You know, of course, Stu and all his Cubs fandom said, oh, my God, I can't believe you'd get rid of Almora. He's the future of this team, when last year he was willing to drive him out of town. But that's how Cubs fans go. You know, but like if you're the Cardinals, you know, you should be calling on Marcelo Zuna, or if you're the Giants, who really were the team that should have gotten Stanton with the package they presented. It was just obviously the no-trade clause, you know, blew up in their face there. I would definitely be calling on one of their other outfielders if that's what you think your need is, because he's obviously going to give them away. You know, and what I, you know, and the more and more you look at it, I mean, the reason you can tell this was just a strict money dump on Jeter's part is Stanton gave him four teams. You know, he was willing to go to the Yankees, the Cubs, the Astros, and the Dodgers. I don't even think he fielded or went after other offers. You know, he just saw the fact that the Yankees were going to help him out and they were going to take this big chunk of cash off his payroll, and he jumped at it because that's what he needed to do. So, yeah.
You know why the Cubs are out of the option already?
They didn't want to pay the money?
No. You must not have injected that bag of Kool-Aid. They're going to sign Bryce Harper next year.
Oh, no, no, you're way off there. What the Cubs are going to do is, I saw that the Red Sox are very interested in trading Jackie Bradley Jr. And now, of course, the key phrase that I just said there was the Red Sox, because immediately if you are a former Red Sox, your first job is with the Cubs. So I assume that somewhere down the road, probably before the winter meetings are over, we'll have a swap that sends Jackie Bradley Jr. to the Cubs so he can be their everyday center fielder next year. And, you know, we won't have to have the talk about, you know, can Jason Hayward do it, or how it's going to work out. But, yeah, the minute I saw that, I thought, oh, okay, well, he'll end up on the Cubs eventually. That's you know, the next step there. But, yeah, you know, I mean, the
Bradley has to go somewhere else. Everyone goes somewhere else first.
Yeah. you know, yeah, the whole Stanton trade, just, it really left a bad taste in my mouth after looking at the particulars and stuff. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I love Starlin Castro. You know, the best thing for him was to get out of Chicago. You know, he did very well for himself in New York. You know, the injury last year, you know, ended up slowing him down a little bit, but, you know, like the other guys they got thrown in, they got Jorge Guzman, who's a 21-year-old right-handed pitcher. Barely, you know, he spent last year he must have been hurt last year. He only made 13 starts last year. Did really well in low A. He was 5-3 with a 2.30 ERA, but there's zero projections of this guy ever being in a major league rotation. Now, he is only 21, so maybe he'll greatly improve. And the other guy they got an 18-year-old middle infielder by the name of Jose Devers, or maybe it's Devers, like the way the Red Sox guy pronounces it. Never been out of rookie ball. He's hit .245 last year, split between, a couple different rookie leagues. He, you know, one home run, 16 RBIs. He did steal 16 bases. But, yeah, so, you know, another guy who doesn't project out to being much of a major leaguer if or when he ever gets there. The question is more like if. You know, Castro himself is just 27. You know, he hit 300 last year with 16 homers and 63 RBIs. Now, he did just play in 112 games because of the injuries. But, you know, he's a career 282 lifetime hitter. I mean, he's a good major league player. He's just not somebody you should be able to get Giancarlo Stanton back for as the key piece of the deal. You know, and I'm really surprised the Marlins didn't find a way to include Wei Ying Chin in that deal and dump his salary as well. So, yeah, but, yeah it's just...
Since Ohtani's with the Angels, which we didn't really get to touch on, but,
yeah.
I mean, what more can you say?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, the whole thing just left disgusting taste in my mouth. And I did chuckle about the fact that they're like, well, you know, the Yankees have, you know, two guys who are going to combine to hit 100 homers. Yeah, they're also going to combine to strike out 400-plus times, guys. So don't, while obviously it does improve the team, it doesn't guarantee anything, so just, you know, ease off the gas there a little bit before you start handing the World Series trophy to the Yankees. But while we are on the Yankees, did you see that they actually made another deal today? They're apparently clearing, well, they don't have salary cap space, but that's what it looks like they're doing. They sent Chase Headley along with Brian Mitchell to the San Diego Padres for Jabari Blash, who's an older prospect outfielder. But, you know, Headley's in the last year of his deal. So they're shipping him back to San Diego where he came from. Interestingly, I saw that the Yankees are also in talks with Todd Frazier to bring him back. So I'm under the impression this move was made to allow Frazier to be the full-time third baseman.
Yeah, but how would they do that if they trade for Machado?
Yeah, that fun thing, remember Machado wants to be a shortstop now. So, you know, that was his thing, is he wants to move over to shortstop. But yeah, apparently the key for the Padres in the deal was Mitchell. They want to look at him as a starter. He spent 4 years kind of up and down between the Yankees and the minors. He's got 48 career games, but he's only made nine career starts. He's 2-6 with a 4.94 ERA. He did pick up two saves along the line while he was bouncing around. But yeah, the Padres believe that he could be somebody who could fit in, you know, the 2-3 spot in their rotation. So they're going, you know, they basically got him, you know, in essence, the Yankees don't get much in return because with their outfield the way it is, Blash is going to, you know, probably head to AAA. I would be shocked if he makes the roster unless they manage to move another guy. If Gardner, Ellsbury, or Aaron Hicks end up going someplace. But, you know, I wouldn't really count on that. But yeah, so Headley goes back to San Diego for 1 year because I doubt they'll resign him, and you know, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, you mentioned the other big thing you and I missed was just as the weekend started, you know, good old Shohei Ohtani decided he wanted to be an Angel. You know, you and I kind of had them in the middle of the pack of the teams that were going to end up with him. Are you there any surprise here to you? I mean, it's just kind of at this point in time blah, or how's what's your feeling on it?
I mean, what did they do to really sell him? I was with Uncle Bob this weekend and he completely avoided talking anything Bears, and which I know you laugh at because he's a 40 plus year season ticket holder. But it's a whole other topic, you know. I mentioned to him, well, he brought up Ohtani and the great package and all the stuff the Cubs did. I'm like, it doesn't matter. They could have sent whatever package they put together, or, you know, the videos that Chris Bryant and other young guys' parents, you know, were put together for Ohtani's parents. He was staying on the West Coast. So, again, you know, you really got to inject the Kool-Aid to believe he was coming here. But, I mean, I get it. Maybe the potential's there because he has one of the best players in Major League Baseball on the team. But this team has been struggling since 2011, I would say, or whenever they – I'm not struggling, but they haven't really done it. So I wonder if he's, you know, not only looking for the money, obviously, but the fact that he will be the number one, because they don't have a number one.
Yeah, you know, they, you know, the Angels have that fun, interesting staff of a bunch of young guys who seem to continue to get hurt. You know, I mean, we've seen the, you know, the Garrett Richards and the Andrew Heaneys and, you know, the Nick Trapinos, and I'm sure I'm, you know, missing some of their other guys who just, you know, have had arm issue after arm issue. And I'm wondering if, you know, the possibility, do you think maybe they sold him on a six-man rotation so they can babysit their arms a little bit? Because, again, I mean, we're talking about guys who have, you know, I believe, if not all of them, the majority of them had Tommy John. So, you know, I believe Shoemaker was hurt last year. He had a pretty good year. You know, they had Parker Bridwell kind of pop up out of nowhere. So, it, you know, it's going to be interesting. And I don't think I mentioned Tyler Skaggs was the guy I left out who's been hurt ever since he was top prospect in the, I believe it was Diamondbacks organization.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's injured guy after injured guy after injured guy. So, you know, and I know, you know, they took a shot on Alex Meyer, who was a Twins top prospect, and I think they were going to try to convert him to a reliever, and even he blew out his arm. So, you know, it's just, it's almost like it's contagious out there that, you know, if you're a starting pitcher, you've got to have some kind of arm or shoulder, or I believe Shoemaker's was forearm related, but, you know, still pitching arm. So, yeah, I'm just wondering if maybe they went, hey, we're going to try this, and, you know, it'll be a little more conducive to what you're used to doing.
Well, I mean, I think the advantage, obviously, the American League has is the DH, where you can carry that extra pitcher, because you won't have the situational, you know, pinch hits and such as you would in the National League.
So, but yeah, you know, I mean, just kind of, you know, right now, you know, I mean, they don't have a, you know, a terrible everyday lineup. I mean, you'd look at it and, you know, you would probably say it's solid. You know, the way they have it set up on rosterresource.com, they give you a projected batting order. And right now the Angels are projected to have Cole Calhoun lead off, Trout second, Upton third, Pujols fourth. My guy Luis Valbuena is penciled in as their starting third baseman. CJ Cron at first, Andrelton Simmons at short, and Martin Maldonado catching, and Caleb Coward is their projected starter at first base. I don't know if that'll happen because he's a well, maybe. He's been with the organization for a few years. He was a number one draft pick. I guess sooner or later you got to figure out if he's got anything. But, yeah, I mean, that, you know, and I mean, just, you know, right off the top there, I mean, that's not, you know, it's not the best lineup in the league. It's not the worst lineup in the league. So, you know, and, you know, Pujols is going to play a little more first base this year. I guess he's lost some weight. So they're looking at him playing 50 or more games at first. That'll open up the DH role for Ohtani if he can hit. You know, there's been a lot of questions now on if he'll be able to hit major league pitching. Nobody's worried about his arm and him being a quality pitcher, but there's a lot of questions now about will his hitting translate? So will – then there was no pun intended there. It just kind of happened. but, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, if they're healthy, you know, they've got a really young – of course, Garrett Richards is almost 30. I don't know if he's really young anymore. But they, you know, they have some guys that look like they could have a fantastic rotation. But, you know, we've never seen them because they're never healthy. So, it's a lot of, you know, hit and miss with this team.
Well, what I really heard Steal the Deal was he gets to be like his favorite childhood movie. So he gets to be an angel in the outfield.
Yeah.
There's a bad pun. You're supposed to not laugh at that. Or...
Now that we've got the puns out of the way.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess we'll, you know, we'll see how it kind of works out for him or, you know, floats out for him. But I'm not sure I'm just not sure that he's going to be the guy that puts them over the top. But, you know, if it does give us the opportunity that they'll shut up about Mike Trout for a little bit and talk about, talk about Ohtani and the Angels, that would help me out greatly.
Yeah, you know, I think it would be fitting, though, to send out a tweet later on today or to the Major League Baseball Players Association. You mentioned Ohtani may not be able to hit Major League pitching, but that doesn't discount him from hitting a ball that's thrown over the plate at, 85 miles an hour or whatever. A fastball could be it for him to hit a home run to go up against Madison Bumgarner and the All-Star. You know, just a one-on-one. Not put them in the tournament, just a one-on-one. I think I'll do that right now.
Yeah, well, here you go. This didn't take long. You mentioned Machado earlier. The Orioles are apparently fielding offers, and this one popped right up. It says, the Cubs aren't one of the teams that have shown early interest in trading for Manny Machado. Chris Bryant is obviously locked in at third base, though Machado reportedly looking to return to shortstop. So they want to know if the Cubs would be willing to move Addison Russell.
What about J.J. Hardy? Or would you move Russell to third or second?
He's a free agent. Hardy's a free agent, so.
Oh, well, now the Cubs could get him.
Yes, they needed him. I thought that was humorous that the Cubs popped up. What I do find interesting, can you explain this to me? How come every big name guy comes up that the Phillies are interested in?
PR.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, you know, they were interested in Stanton. You know, they were one of the first teams that allegedly called the Orioles on Machado. They did sign Pat Neshek. I know that's not a big name, but he is a solid middle reliever. But, yeah, I think it's just kind of humorous that every time I hear a bigger named player, the first team that's associated with it is the Phillies.
I mean, why not? They're almost 10 years removed from on their way to being a dynasty that fell apart. They should be interested in everybody. Now, you know, the reports I read on Machado was either the GM or the vice president. He has not confirmed that they're shopping Machado, so to speak. So, I mean, you know, what do your sources close to you say?
Well, my sources say that the Orioles are reportedly asking for offers. So, you know, while they're not quote unquote looking to deal him, they are interested in seeing what could be brought back for him. The difficult part, of course, becomes the fact that he will be a free agent next year. So, you know, if you know, you're not going to get a ton for him, because, you know, there always is a chance that maybe he won't re-sign with the team that, you know, you're trading him to.
Yeah, well, and what I read, too, is that the Orioles feel that it's going to be highly unlikely that they'll be able to re-sign him or extend his contract. So if he's not, you know, gone by the new year or by spring training, I think we'll find him. Well, you know, it also depends on the playoff race, but I think most likely after the trade deadline and the waivers go through, he might be going to a new team.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, that, you know, as weird as it is, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, if I'm the Orioles, I would be doing, you know, everything I could to, you know, to keep him around. You know, he's definitely, you know, a centerpiece to your organization, but, you know, I get it. They're not one of the teams that really likes to pay players. So, you know, and what he's going to get, you know, you got to figure if, you know, if Bryce Harper really is a $400 or $500 million player, you know, you got to figure, you know, if you're going 10 years with Machado, just to base it out like that, he's probably a $300 million player. He's probably a $30 million a year guy. So, you know, if you're not willing to go that route, and, you know, especially now, if he has success at shortstop, you know, that may increase his value even a little more.
Now, if they move him, and, you know, this kind of goes to another guy, I'll get to that in a second, but, you know, how do you feel if you're Adam Jones and a couple other mainstays that are there? And my other question, kind of bouncing back to the Giancarlo trade, you're Starlin Castro, and by spring training, you've seen that Ozuna, Yelich, I mean, who's next? Diedrich are moved.
Yeah.
You just go to the front office and ask for a trade. Like, why do I want to be here?
Well, I believe, to start off with the first one, I believe Adam Jones is also in the last year of his deal. So the Orioles could look vastly different next year, you know, not 2018, but 2019. Because, you know, they could possibly have no Machado and no Adam Jones. And I believe they had there might have been one more name on that list that was possibly you know, going into free agency. But I'm not quite sure who it is. You know, it might be a guy like a Trumbo or a secondary guy like that. But, yeah, it could be a vastly different team. You know, and then the kind of the Castro thing, I honestly thought he was just passing through. I was not expecting the Marlins to keep him. You know, I just kind of figured they acquired him to ship him off someplace else. You know, otherwise, you know, what, yeah, you know, Yelich or Ozuna, or, you know, maybe, you know, again, like we, you know, I mentioned Wei Ying Chin earlier, if, you know, you can find somebody to take that deal, you know, it's just, you know, finding the right fit. Or, you know, I mean, the funny thing is he would be a fantastic upgrade for, like, the Dodgers at second base. You know, like, they had the combination of Logan Forsythe and Chase Utley last year. He would be a huge upgrade for them. You know, and I know he's got a relatively friendly contract. That's probably part of the reason why he was moved in this deal. So, you know, I don't know. I would be, well, maybe that, then again, if the contract is that friendly, that may be the reason they hang on to him. So
yeah, the way Jeter works, do you think maybe he could trade him back to the Yanks for something?
You know, it's possible, you know, with the way this works out, maybe he goes back for an actual prospect, you know, this time. But, you know, like when I was looking at the Stanton deal and I didn't see the name Gleyber Torres or, you know, or what is it? Is it Clint Frazier? You know, when they weren't part of the deal. Yeah, when neither of those names were in the deal, you just realized it was a complete ripoff on the Yankees' end, and you know, it was just kind of like, yeah, okay, this deal sucks. So,
you know, was it one of those that Cash was like, well, let's submit this to the commissioner and see how it goes. If it goes through and the other owners don't vote against it, then, you know, of course, I'm obviously mimicking fantasy sports because I don't think it's that easy, but I'm still very surprised that, you know, Manfred let that go through. But then again, I think you and I have both come to the agreement that he doesn't care about anything unless it speeds up the game. So it was a quick deal, you know, so the pace of the deal was quick. So maybe that was in help of improving the game by speeding it up.
Yeah, well, you know, the odd thing is as much as this deal sucks for everybody, it's great for baseball because he's going to the Yankees. And we all know that, you know, the centerpiece of baseball because of the way it's covered is the East Coast.
Thank you.
So, you know, that's just kind of, you know, it's kind of how they do things and how they cover things. So, you know, the media loves it because they're going to get to see, you know, it's a Yankee.
I mean, let's be honest. I don't know about you, but I really don't have the issue with him being in New York. But like you said, it's kind of the crappy deal.
Yeah, you know, that was, you know, my thing. Like, I don't care that he went to the Yankees. That doesn't bother me at all. You know, I mean, obviously, if I had my way, I would rather see him playing for the Mariners. But, you know, I mean, we knew that wasn't going to happen. But, you know, it's just the fact that it was just so strictly a money dump that, you know, as much as nobody liked it, the Marlins contended for the wild card a little bit last season. They did fall off late. But, you know, they hung around longer than anybody thought. You know, if they could have gotten anything out of Chen or they could add a decent starting pitcher, they could have been right there again with the offense they had. Now, instead, they're going to be a complete laughingstock. When Jeter is done dismantling us, they will lose 100 games plus. I don't understand how that's good for baseball, especially in Florida. You know, the Rays have a hard time drawing, even though they're a competitive team. You know, I know a lot of people say it's because of their stadium, but I don't think they buy that. I don't think there are, you know, there are no Rays fans and no Marlins fans in Florida. The people who are in Florida come from someplace else and they already have teams. So they may go to a game when their favorite team is in town, but they're not there to support the Rays or the Marlins. They're there to see the Yankees, the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, whoever they're playing. So I just don't know if baseball's really a good fit in Florida. I mean, I think in reality they should get both teams out of there.
Yeah, well, the Marlins, I think, have a long time before they're out of Florida. But, I mean, let's not forget that before these two teams were incorporated into the league, you know, Florida was a part of Braves territory.
Right.
And, you know, the 90s.
And it didn't help
Emperor. God. No. But, yeah, that's true. But, you know what I mean? It's like the 90s dominated with the Braves. And that wasn't that long ago. So 20 years later, you're expecting people to just jump allegiances? Well, I'm sure the World Series, yeah, of course, you're going to go out. You're going to get your – Miguel Cabrera was there then, I think, or was he still in the farm system? I don't know. I forget who was on the – you know, especially the Marlins. I forget who was on that World Series team. Joe Girardi, maybe. You know, I'm sure they were wearing the jerseys. Everyone was going because it's the freaking World Series. Everybody goes. Everybody watches. But once that was over with, you know, the other thing I think people forget about, you know, my father-in-law lived in Tampa. It's all fixed income. I'm not going to say it's all, But there's a lot of retirees down there. Yeah, it's on their TV, but yeah, they're going to watch it, but they're not going to go to the games because of the money you charge to get in. They can't afford it. And number two, my father-in-law, you know, going along with, you know, just sports in general, the Buccaneers were blacked out in Tampa for years because they couldn't sell out. And this is the NF freaking L that sells out, you know, 100,000 people in Mexico goes once a year, or, you know, however many, 100,000 people in England every year. But you can't sell out in Tampa. So, I don't know. I think by the time it's end that the Rays will be gone. So then maybe baseball will be centralized in Florida on the Marlins. And in at least 20 years, because, I mean, you know, you're Derek Jeter, you sell off all your high-placed players. You might as well find out how you could sell away that big, ugly, green, alien-type deal in the outfield and maybe sell away all the green, ugly seats. Just sell everything in that freaking stadium. And, oh, it's got to have Latin appeal. Where does lime green come in for Latin appeal? To me, I think the color scheme and everything was, for lack of a better word, you know, stereotypical. I don't want to say racist, but, you know, kind of along those lines.
I can tell you that I can tell you Miguel Cabrera was part of the 2003 Florida Marlins. That's when they were still the Florida Marlins. I can tell you that. And now, you know, when you start to look at this history, Dan, they have traded two of the best right-handed power hitters of this era. So how's that for your legacy? We traded Cabrera to the Tigers, and now we've shipped Stanton off to the Marlins.
You know, America's so most hated and lost team.
There's some Marlins history for you. You know, right there. That's just fantastic that they, you know, they win these things and then they, you know, or they try to win these things and then they ship these guys off and, you know, they, you know, they break them off and however you want to look at it. I want to see here, how did they do? Well, you know, they didn't do much better in the Cabrera deal either. Here's what they got back. They sent Cabrera and Dontrell Willis to the Tigers. In return, they got Dallas Trahearne, who never made it to the majors, Burke Badenhop, Frankie De La Cruz. They did get your guy Cameron Maben. Andrew Miller was part of this trade, but he wasn't the Andrew Miller relief pitcher we know now. And the other player they got was Mike Rabello. So while they did get two productive major league players in Maben, neither of them produced with Marlins. I don't think he was there very long. I want to double check here. Oh, no, he was there longer than I thought. He was there for parts of three seasons, and he played 144 games as a Marlin before they shipped him off to the Padres. So, but yeah, if you remember, he was part of a big deal with the Padres and the Braves. He was part of that Craig Kimbrel deal. So, but yeah, he's been shipped around quite a bit. He, you know, a guy who's, you know, everybody keeps saying he's got a lot of talent, but we don't, you know, we haven't had a chance to see it. Now, Miller was also with the Marlins for three seasons. Now, you know, we all think of Andrew Miller as the, you know, the shutdown reliever who almost won Cleveland the World Series against the Cubs that year. With the Marlins, all right, here you go, Dan. Here's some big numbers to tell you how this guy has changed. He appeared in 58 games, 41 as a starter. He was 10-20 with an ERA of 5.89. So yeah, just a huge difference between Andrew Miller, the starting pitcher, and Andrew Miller, the setup guy. So, you know, just one of those things. The Marlins were so interested to get rid of him that when they did ship him off to the Red Sox, he was traded for a guy by the name of Dustin Richardson. Yeah. Why don't you remember Dustin Richardson? Well, because he's only had 29 games of major league experience, all in relief with the Red Sox between 2009 and 2010. So, yeah, that's part of the reason. But to be fair to Dustin, he is still kicking around. He spent 2017 pitching for Leos del Escondido in the San Dominican League. So there you go, if you're interested in that kind of deal. But yeah, that's just kind of how you know, how the things kind of shake out, and you know, where players kind of hit and miss with. But yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of irritating. But, you know, the other signing I know we didn't get a chance to talk about happened over the weekend. The Cubs looking to reshape their bullpen a little bit. They start that off by signing Brandon Morrow. Now, you know, Morrow just pitched in the World Series for the Dodgers, actually set a record. Or tied a record, I should say, by appearing in every World Series game. He pitched in all seven World Series games. He's coming off a really good year for the Dodgers. He was 6-0 for the Dodgers last year with a 2.06 ERA in 45 relief appearances. He did pick up a couple saves. Since he's been remolded into a reliever, he's another one of these guys who's had much, much better success. In 2016 for the Padres, and now he's had a couple arm injuries. He's only pitched in 18 games for them, but was 1-0 with a 1.69 ERA. So it looks like, you know, he may be the first guy up to have a shot at the Cubs closer role. You know, there's no reports right now if they're even interested in bringing Wade Davis back. So somebody is going to, you know, need to step up and fill that role. It looks like, you know, it's looking like Morrow might be the guy to get the first look, unless they think, you know, a guy like Carl Edwards Jr. is ready. But, you know, the similarities between Morrow and Wade Davis are just incredibly similar, aren't they?
Yeah. Just to backtrack on one thing real quick, how much bigger of a crap job would it have been for the Marlins? D-Train really turned in, Dontrelle Willis really turned into what he was supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, that would have been an even bigger bomb than it was. You know, so...
But I did read that the Cubs are, of course, fighting back on the physical, which, I mean, I don't see that he would have any issues, but, you know, you never know how that goes. And in other breaking news, if you've seen it, if you're a Cubs fan and you've been following Twitter, I don't know about Facebook, but I'm sure NBC Sports, you know, ESPN, The Score, everybody's been tweeting it because Kelly Kroll tweeted it. She could tweet anything, but that's another topic. Kyle Schwarber just happened to be hanging out in Orlando on supposed marketing deals and working out, and showed up at the winter meetings to show off his new leaner physique, which has nothing at all to do with shopping him, because you know why, Big Jack? He knows how the Cubs feel about him. He knows how the Cubs feel about him.
Yes, but how do you feel about it? That's what I want to know.
overrated?
Yeah, but now, you know, now that, you know, we mentioned Wade Davis, and apparently the new suitor in the Wade Davis market are the Cardinals, who have now reached out to him and would like to talk to him.
Wow.
So, you know the Cardinals, obviously, they're another team looking for a closer. You know, they let Trevor Rosenthal grow, and Song Wong Oh is a free agent. So, they're looking for late inning help.
Now, who plays second for the Cardinals?
I'm trying to remember. They had a large supply of interchangeable parts. You know, I know Colton Wong played some.
Yeah. Start me or don't.
Yeah, and then got sent down to the minors. So, yeah. You know, I know they were a little disgruntled with him. Let me see who they have listed on their depth chart here on the good old Cardinals, and see if it's anybody new or anybody worthwhile. Otherwise, they can always go out and get Starlin Castro. So,
wow, thanks, Jack. That's while you're looking at that, you might as well hop on over to check their top 30 prospects. Because you were going right to where I was going next, and obviously that's why you picked up on it when I said second base. But they were interested in Stanton. Would they not be interested in Ozuna and Castro?
Yeah, well, from all the pointing in the market, they're looking for an outfielder. I'm not sure, why. They have kind of a slew of outfielders. And a roster resource does have Colton Wong listed as their starting second base. I can understand why you would want Stanton, but, you're looking at a group. You know, they have Tommy Pham. They still have Dexter Fowler. They have Stephen Piscotty, and they got Randall Grichuk. So they kind of have four guys for three spots as it is. You never know with, these guys. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even that, I don't know what their system looks like, but I'm sure there's other teams that could be looking in at Castro. But, I mean, you already took Fowler, which didn't make a huge difference when you took him from the Cubs. But bringing back a guy who has improved at second base after being moved from short with the Yankees and being in your division – I mean, why wouldn't you want to go after Castro? You can possibly hand off somebody. But the even more important these days is maybe start giving that international pool money back. I don't know if the Marlins need any of that yet. You know, if it expires at the end of the year.
They gave theirs all to the Yankees.
Oh, the Cardinals?
No, the Marlins did. Remember in that other trade they made with the Yankees, they gave them all their international pool money.
Oh, that's right. See? So they could use them back. Start filling up that bank account again.
Maybe apparently the Cardinals not only talked to Wade Davis, but they've contacted the Blue Jays about a deal for Josh Donaldson.
Oh, wow.
So, they're... It's the time of year where, everybody's talking to everybody about everyone. So it's just kind of like, who goes where or how it looks at. But it does seem now, Dan, like the Giants, who, again, I still think should have ended up with Stanton, have changed their pursuits now to your guy, Billy Hamilton.
Yeah. You're obviously not going after him for his bat. You're going after him for his speed and his ability in the outfield.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, imagine the defense he could play in, what's it? It's not Candlestick anymore. What's it called now? You were there.
AT&T Park.
There you go. Yeah. As big as that outfield is, yeah, imagine the ground he could cover, out there. So, he could be a fantastic fit for – you know, a team like the Giants there. So, you know, we'll see. The, you know, the reports say the talks are just in early stages, but apparently the Reds want to move him to make room for Jesse Winker to play full time.
Oh, I just had another really bad pun. Do I save it or?
No, I'll just save it for later, you know.
All right. Save it for when he has a winker with the Reds?
Yeah. Oh, God. Just terrible. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting that, Hamilton seems to have, I don't know, worn out his welcome, lost his, you know, spot after all the, all kind of the hoopla with him coming up on, you know, if he could be successful at this level and, you know, all those kind of things. And now he's, you know, they're looking to move him. It's like, oh, okay, great.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things too. What were we talking about him 5 years ago? So in that time period, you know, the Reds technically should have won a World Series. I mean, they had the best of the best. Of course, it didn't help when Johnny Cueto threw like a pitch or two, took a step off the mound and, you know, was out for the rest of that. Well, I don't even know if it was a series or just a wild card. But, you know, they had Brandon Phillips. That was the team that started with Aroldis Chapman. And then they had that lefty with that huge 12-6 curveball from the Cubs named Sean something. I think it was Sean. I can't remember
Marshall.
His name now. Sean Marshall. There you go. You know, that whole team, they should have won at least one World Series, captured a couple pennants. But they've done nothing. You know, Phillips is gone. Chapman's gone. He never really realized it. Cincinnati, I think, is because he kept getting hurt there. You know, maybe they should work out their mound because it seemed like their pitchers kept getting hurt. I don't know. And then, you know, who do they have in the app? They let Todd Frazier go out to, you know, the White Sox, and now the Yanks have him. They have Jay Bruce left, who's probably on his way out. I mean,
no, he's
not
gone. Remember, he got traded to the Mets, and now he's a free agent.
Oh, that's right. So, I mean, systematically, they've been torn down, but I don't think it was totally the plan. Why don't you don't start pulling Jeter?
All right, well, I need you to answer me this question because I just saw this report. It came from my source, Buster Only, and he's pretty accurate. And it's on your guy, Jake Arrieta, all right?
Oh.
Obviously, like everybody else, they're saying, you know, him and his agent are saying he wants the right fit. But that right fit has to come with a contract of upwards of $200 million. Are you giving Jake Arrieta a $200 million deal?
Well, before you even offer that $200 million deal, Big Jack, you have to read through the 75-page binder Scott Boras is sending to each of the prospective teams.
And it's 75 interesting pages. Now that you mentioned Scott Boras. I don't know if you heard this report, but this was your guy also. I think you've had this guy in the last couple of years in our fantasy leagues. Did you see that Dallas Keuchel has left his agency and is now signed with Scott Boras?
Oh, his free agency is coming up soon, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe if it's not this year, it's next year that Keuchel, you know, if it's not 2018, it's 2019 that Keuchel will be a free agent. So it's right around the corner for him.
If I'm the Astros, do what you can and move on with him because you're not signing him, re-signing him.
Yeah, it's definitely a an interesting situation there. You know, you got to wonder, is he another guy? We're looking at a guy who's going to be wanting, you know, $200 million or $300 million, depending on how you know, how that works out.
I mean, but what are you looking at? 7 years with Arrieta?
Well, you figure, if you're going $200 million, you've got to go seven, right? I mean, can you? God, that's just.
I mean, does he get? Do you give him like a Bobby Bonilla deal? Because I'm sorry, that's the offer thrown at me. I'm politely giving back. Well, no, I think I'd keep the binder just for souvenir's sake, and you know, something in giggles, as they say. I don't see him being worth it for an upwards of 5 years. You could say he had his issues. He had his issues in Baltimore, whatever, which is the coach or the whatever his excuse was when he was there. And the only thing the Cubs did was encourage what they discouraged, and it worked for an approximation of time. And then he just kind of came back down to earth. He's not Clayton Kershaw, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, yeah, while he's been, a good starting pitcher. You know, there's nothing wrong with the numbers he put up. He had that 1 year kind of anomaly, you know, and they're really trying to live off that, you know, is what they're really just kind of after, you know, they want their money based on that
no hitter.
So, yeah.
Well, and it wasn't it wasn't even like an entire season. It's based off of a chunk of time from basically no hitter to no hitter. And that was the complete peak. And you're not going anywhere but down from here on out. Do all the yoga, have all your gimmicks. You know, you had your, so to speak, 15 minutes of national fame time, or, you know, Andy time. But I think it's over. And whoever signs him for $200 million in the third season of that contract, we're going to be sitting here going, yeah, but, you know, they're still stuck with so much, you know, unless you decide to give him $35 million next year, you know, and then progressively go lower, so that you're not stuck on the tail end with, you know, $30 million, $25 million or more per season.
Yeah, you know, it's just such a, you know, a difficult decision. I mean,
is
he worth it?
I don't think so. But would it make a difference if he was about 2 or 3 years younger?
Oh, yeah, it'd make a huge difference. But, all right, well, the music means Dan and I are going to roll out of here, so we'll have to pick this conversation up tomorrow where we left off here with Pan Jake Arrieta. You know the deal while we're gone, though, sportstimeradio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter if you want to look us up on there. As always, big thanks for listening live. It's cool when you come on and do that, but don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want over at tunein.com.
Sports Time Radio.